All right, honk one more time if you can hear me. Okay. All right, 1 Kings chapter 1. We've been preaching on David for a long time, the life of David. I think this is 43 messages. I believe I'm right about that. It's right over 40. We're getting close to the end of this. But there's more that I want to deal with about this matter right here than what we can do today. So we're just going to try to confine what we're looking at today to a little narrow subject here. And then there's more that David did when he was dying than just this. There's more to it than that. He just grew weak and feeble and old in age. He took care of a lot of things. But we'll deal with that another time. But let's look at the first four verses. It's kind of an odd situation here, but we're going to talk about it a little bit. 1 Kings chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Now King David was old and stricken in years, and they covered him with clothes, but he gat no heat. Wherefore his servants said unto him, Let there be sought for my lord the king a young virgin, and let her stand before the king, and let her cherish him, and let her lie in thy bosom. And that my lord the king may get heat. So they sought for a fair damsel throughout all the coast of Israel, and found Abishag, a Shunammite, and brought her to the king. And the damsel was very fair, and cherished the king, and ministered to him, but the king knew her not. All right. Now, we're not going to talk a lot about that deal as particularly, but I am going to say a few things about it. But the subject is, here's David. He's old. Now, we talked once a couple of weeks ago about growing old and waxing faint, but this is another dimension here. This is another level of getting old. It's kind of troubling when we see someone that we've known when they were young grow old to this point here. He can't stay warm. And I'll say a little more about that later, but we've known him in his youth. We've studied David for all this time. Feel like I've got to know him when he was young, when he was just a lad, the Bible called him, slaying a giant. We knew him in his strength as he fought the Philistines and became and endured all of the pursuit of Saul and his persecution and how he survived all of that through strength. We saw him as a king and a warrior and a soldier. And now we see him as his strength fails and his life is slowly fading away out of him. It's kind of a troubling sight. It always is. The way it affects our mind and heart never changes. Even when we see this thing happen. Even when we watch it happen over and over for our entire life. When you start getting old, you've seen this a lot of times. When you're young, you don't pay much attention to it. But as you get older, you start paying more attention to it because it becomes more real to you that that's going to be me before long. And even though we know that we're headed to this very same place ourselves, we, honestly now, we make very little or no preparation for it. I've watched people, and that's one of the things that fascinate me about it, is that so many people make little or no preparation for this here. You know, it seems like a lot of people try to make preparation for eternity. We hear a lot of talk about that. You need to be ready to go into eternity, ready to meet God. Well, now that's mighty important. But most people make, you know, a lot of people do make preparation for that, but they don't make preparation for this. For the weakness of old age and death. But a wise person will make preparations for both. We prepare for eternity and we want to skip all this and we just want to think about over there, when we get over there. Well, there's the valley of the shadow of death that you have to pass through to get there. And we don't want to think about that, but we need to. It seems like we're never prepared for old age and weakness in our loved ones either. They grow old and we wake up one day and realize they're at this point right here. It's like we just wake up one day and we're old and weak, or our loved ones are old and weak. It kind of sneaks up on you, gets you. by surprise. You young people that are listening to me, you better take that to heart. It's going to happen to you also. David is old and weak, and he's showing all the symptoms of it. He can't stay warm. I've seen a lot of old people, and that's a common thing right there. We used to go up to Granny's house, when Roy was alive, they'd keep the thermostat on, the air conditioner. They'd kick it on, set it to 86, and boy, when it got to 86, they'd kick her off. And that was just a rare thing during the summer when they did that. It had to really, really be hot for them to do that. Granny's house up there, you go up there and it'd melt the wax candles. It was so hot in there. But she was cold. She's always cold. Never able to stay warm. You know, you can't put heat where there is none on the inside. That's what happens, see. He got no heat. He couldn't stay warm. They pile clothes on him, it says, but he couldn't stay warm. His strongest physical desires, they fade away, and there's no pleasure in them anymore. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1. Remember now, thy Creator, in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Now you see, the caretakers there thought that the fairest and kindest, sweetest young virgin in the kingdom would surely bring him back to life. But they were simply carnal people who were not wise about life and old age and morality either. You know, David had a taste of weakness when the giant was about to kill him that we talked about a couple of weeks ago, and Abishai had to save him. But now he's feeling the total failure of his earthly tabernacle. I mean, this is different here. This is the end approaching. Now, he doesn't die days from this. It's not just, death is not just right there, but it's getting close. I mean, it's so close now that it's within sight, and it's time to do what needs to be done because this thing's about over. David, you know, he knows the end's near, and so his mind is consumed with setting things in order and trying to make sure that some evil, foolish person doesn't undo all he has spent his life doing as soon as he's dead. That's what's on his mind. That's what he cares about. These things like this young woman, that's not a thing that occupies his mind now. In fact, it has no appeal to him whatsoever, because when you get this close to death, everything comes into perspective a lot better. It's like when you look through a pair of binoculars and you turn that little knob and focus it on something and it gets real clear. That's kind of what happens to your mind and your heart and your desires. When death gets this close, you get close enough to start seeing things a lot more clearly. David is finished with some things like this, but he still has a lot to do before he dies. And it's more important than what these people around here, that around him that are watching him, is more important than what they're thinking about. And one of the hardest things about this point in life, and I know this is true. I know this is true. One of the hardest things that you have to deal with in your mind when you're at this point in your life is that you feel very alone, even if you're surrounded by people, because those around you just do not understand what you need and what is important to you. They're still thinking after the flesh and living life here, and you're finished with it. And only thinking about what they're going to do when you're not here anymore. And thinking about setting things in order and getting things right that you have fooled around and not done up to this point in your life. Since we're all headed to this point, we ought to do our diligence to prepare for it while we have our strength and our health and our good mind. There's nothing in the Bible that's made more clear than the fact that people grow old and weak I got a few verses here. Let me read them to you. Genesis 18, verse 11. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. There's another verse on down a few chapters. It says Abraham was old and well stricken in age. There's two of these here that I'm going to read about, that they were old and well stricken in age, and then later, I mean years later, it says that again about them. So here's a point to remember. Just because you're old and well stricken in age and you're lying on a bed and it looks like looks to everybody else like you're about to give it up, that's not time to give it up. There's still things that need to be taken care of. There's still business to be done. You still have a purpose here, and you still need to do what you got to do while you're still alive, even if you are old and stricken in age. Abraham and Sarah were old and stricken in age. Ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. But after that, they had a child and raised a boy. It was years later before Sarah died. 14 years, really, to be exact. And they still had stuff to do, see. Had things to accomplish. Genesis 35, verse 29. And Isaac gave up the ghost and died and was gathered unto his people, being old and full of days. And his sons Esau and Jacob buried him. Genesis 48, verse 10. Now the eyes of Israel were dim for age, so that he could not see. And he brought them near to him, and he kissed them. He's talking about the sons of Joseph, and embraced them. So there's old Israel. Jacob, his eyes were dim for age. He's there too, see? All these people. Genesis 49:33. And when Jacob had made an end of commanding his sons, he gathered up his feet into the bed and yielded up the ghost and was gathered unto his people. But he had a lot to do before that happened. What we just read in 48:10 of Genesis there, when he blessed the sons of Joseph, there was some time in between that and this verse I just read to you. When Jacob had made an end of commanding his sons, he gave them all some words before he died. And then he just drew his feet, gathered up his feet into the bed and yielded up the ghost. Joshua 23, verse 2. And Joshua called for all Israel and for their elders and for their heads and for their judges and for their officers and said unto them, I am old and stricken in age. Chapters before this, it had said Joshua was old and stricken in age. But he had kept going for many years that way. One more. Well, two more. 2 Chronicles 24:15. But Jehoiada waxed old and was full of days when he died. 130 years old when he died. I don't want to live to be 130 years old. I've thought about it this week some. Adam died when he was 930 years old. Can you imagine? You can't imagine. We just can't even begin to live in 930 years. Oh, my goodness. And it says here that David was old and full of days. You know, when he died when he was 70. Job 42, verse 17. So Job died being old and full of days. We go on and read the names of everyone. You listening to me? We could read the names of everyone from Adam to Noah. And then from Noah to Moses. And then from Moses to Jesus, who died and were buried with their fathers. We could read their names in the genealogies all the way back. The only way that we'll be spared from growing old and stricken in age is to die before that happens, or for Jesus to come. Now, that's not much of an option, really, die before you're old. You're going to die with some disease. You're going to die violently in some kind of a wreck or accident or violence from some other person, murder. I mean, that's the only way you will escape growing old and stricken in years. Old age is really a blessing that a lot of people miss. It's a blessing to those who grow old themselves. It's a blessing to you if you get to grow old. Because you have an opportunity to set things in order that you have not understood or that you've neglected until then. If the Lord lets you get old and feeble and weak, and you get to the point where you can see death coming afar off, and you have time, that's a blessing, let me tell you. It's a mercy that gives you time to do something about all your mistakes and all of the things you've neglected and the things you've not fixed that can be fixed. You ever watch somebody die? You'll see that often in them. They're desperately trying to fix things that they didn't fix in the years when they were living their life. It's a blessing to those around us if we get to grow old. They get to watch an old person grow old and weak in wisdom and weak with wisdom and righteousness. It's a blessing to those who get to watch somebody who's wise and old and righteous grow old and get to this point in their life. It's a blessing to hear the last words and conversations they have at the very end of their life. That's always important, isn't it? We just read about Jacob, and that's what he did with his sons at the end. He gathered them all together. Oh my. He had some important things to say to them. Noah did. Different men in the Bible did this. It's a good thing. Last words. The last words they said. Their last thoughts. Proverbs 16 verse 31 says, "The hoary head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness." If it be found in the way of righteousness. There's nothing glorious about an old fool. An old wicked sinner who stayed that way all of his life. But it is a blessing. It's a crown of glory, the hoary head, the gray head, if it be found in the way of righteousness. And buddy, that is the truth. Now, what can we do to prepare for this time in our life when we are at the point David is at right here? Well, let me read you another verse, Proverbs 20, verse 29. The glory of young men is their strength. Well, I saw a picture the other day. It was a picture of D-Day. He's looking down in one of those boats that they run up on the shore and drop the gate, and all the men ran out and got killed. And you're looking down at their faces, and you know what you see in there? Kids. You see boys. 18, 19-year-old boys. Some of them don't even have any whiskers. I mean, they're ruddy-faced boys. But they're the ones that fight the wars. They're the ones that have the strength to endure what was facing them right in front of them there. The glory of young men is their strength, and the beauty of old men is the gray head. Well, some people get gray prematurely, they say, and they're gray when they're young. Others, the gray hair that comes normally is earned, every one of them. The stress of life, the wear of life, just spending your strength, that silver cord is loosed somewhere along the line. That gray head tells everybody that you've had some experience in life. It tells everybody that you ought to know some things. That you ought to be wise, and that you ought to have learned from a lifetime how to not be so foolish and stupid in life. While we have the strength of our youth, we need to live a holy life in the sight of God. We read Ecclesiastes 12:1 a minute ago. Let me read it again and pay attention to the first part of the verse this time. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. While you're young, it's hard to imagine yourself old and weak. When you're young, it's hard for you to care much about that. For some people, when they're almost there, they still can't imagine themselves in that state. I find that a little difficult to compute in my mind. I don't know how you can miss it when all the signs are there telling you you're getting old, you're getting old, you're getting old. And then you just wake up one day and you're on death's bed and you can't, how did I get here? I don't understand that. When you're young, you don't give it, you give it very little or no thought at all. And so you're unprepared when they die suddenly or when they find themselves in this position and it seems like it suddenly happened to them. They're not prepared because they didn't think about it. What did the verse just say? Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. And then what are you supposed to be remembering him about? While the evil day come not. I mean, remember, he points to old age and says, remember your Creator in the days of your youth while you're young. Now, remember that you're going to get old and you're going to need God then. And so know him now. Learn about him now. Prepare for that day when you're going to be approaching the time when you're going to meet him face to face. What will the things that we do in our body look like when we're old and weak? The things you do to your body when you're young, what are they going to look like when you're old and aged and weak? I mean, I don't want to major on this, but just think about this. You know, all these people who get tattoos and piercings and body modification and all of this that they do to their bodies, what's it going to look like when you get old? I wonder how many of them think about that. They don't. They don't even consider it. When you're young and your skin is all supple and no wrinkles and it's all clear and no spots, and you can do stuff like that too, and you may think it looks good. It doesn't, but, and most people do not think it looks good, but you might think it looks good. But what's it going to look like when you're old? I mean, what's it going to make people think of you when you're old? Are people going to think it's cool when you're old? Is it still going to give out the same message when you're old as it does when you're young? It's still going to be there. Whatever you do to your body is going to still be there when you're old. People don't take care of their bodies. You know, when you're young, you're strong, and you just beat and slam, and you jump, and you abuse your body. You don't take care of it. You can fall and it'll hurt a little bit and you can get up. You can break a bone and it'll heal up and you can go on and you don't even notice it until you get old. And then all of a sudden you start feeling all those places and you remember what you did and it comes back to haunt you. I'm just saying to you, how do we prepare for this day? Well, think about the things that you do to your body. Think about all that we follow after the world to do. To be attractive and beautiful. What's that going to look like when you're old? And there ain't no painting the barn door anymore. And there ain't enough makeup to fill all the cracks and crevices and cover up all the spots and wrinkles. Huh? Think about all that we do, that we, you know, I mean, think about that. I've seen old people. We used to have an old lady come to church one time and she'd put her lipstick on. And I'm sure she had done it all of her life, but she couldn't do it anymore. Well, she just painted around her mouth and it looked like one of these little bitty children had done how they do with their place makeup and stuff. She painted all around her lips and there were just lines and jags out of it. It looked like a poor coloring job. It looked like a little bitty kid who doesn't stay in the lines on his coloring book. That's what it looked like. Doesn't look good when you're old. All those things you've clung to dress up, to primp up, to make your body all beautiful. Think about all that we let the world tell us to do to be healthy. Saw one time where one of these days you're going to be laying in the hospital dying of nothing after you've ate health food all your life and you've abstained from everything that was bad for you and all that. You're still going to die. I read this morning that every deliverance from a disease, every deliverance from any kind of danger, trial or disaster in our life, it's only a reprieve because you're still going to die. Yes, sir. That's the way it is. Say, boy, you're a real positive preacher. No, I'm just telling you the truth. If we don't live by the truth, and if we don't prepare for not only eternity, but for these days that are part of our life as well, then we're just not being honest and we're not being wise. And if I don't tell you these things, then I'm not doing my duty and I'm not being honest with you either. Think about all we follow after the world to do to be attractive and beautiful. What's it going to look like when you're old and feeble and dying? Think about drinking booze and smoking cigarettes and taking drugs and immorality. What's that going to be like? What's it going to look? It may look good now, but it ain't going to look good then. I mean, think about it. While you're young and these things, they may appeal to you and you may take pleasure in them, but what will they look like when you're down to your last few days or hours? Are you going to be glad? Are you going to be sorry? Are you going to look like a fool? Or are you going to look like somebody that was wise and had some sense? What will the things that we do to our mind look like when we're in those last hours of our life? Well, there's one thing, is your body and the outward part of your body, but what about your mind? Think about it. People got all their opinions and they've got all their foolish knowledge, and most of it they get from the world. But the foolish, ungodly, wicked philosophies of this insane world full of sinners who hate God and that we've swallowed and embraced. How sober are you going to be when you get to the point David's at here and you realize the foolishness of all of these things that you have embraced and maybe promoted and to other people? This Ruth Bader Ginsburg died. Everybody talks about her like she's a hero. And she was a vile person. A vile person who had all that I just mentioned. She had every kind of worldly, ungodly, devilish philosophy that you can imagine. She was for everything that is the most evil, abominable things before God that there are. Sodomy, abortion, homosexuality, all this stuff. She was all for it and a fighter for it, and everybody is eulogizing her like a hero for it. God's not. I guarantee you that. She swallowed all of this stuff and died with it. I hope you don't. What about all the knowledge? You know, all that knowledge of the world that you filled your mind with going to do you? What's it going to look like when you're dying? There's people that just know all the ball teams and all the ball players and all the movie stars and all the singers and all the actors, and they're up on everything. I mean, they're very familiar with everybody and what movie they're in and what they did here and what they did there. And what in the world is that going to look like when you're dying? I mean, what is it going to look like when you look at that your mind is full of? And then you look at the very small amount of truth from God's Word that you've gathered throughout a lifetime in your mind. Even in a church like ours, a Bible-believing, fundamental church that claims to be true Christians. Quote me a Bible verse. And you got to just pry it out of people, and then they come up with, you know, just something that's commonly heard all the time. That's the way it works. You know it is. We ought to be full of it. There ought to be a river of life flowing out of us. We ought to be full of the Word of God. God said put it on your doorpost, put it on your mantle, put it up before your eyes, write it everywhere, write it on the table of your heart, meditate on it day and night. And we don't do that. We go to church on Sunday and listen to what some preacher says, and the rest of the week, the Bible just stays somewhere. Dust on the Bible and drought in the heart, I wrote in my Bible years ago. Not really. It's not anything we hunger after, so it's not anything we fill our mind and heart with. And then we come to the dying time,
And all we've got in our minds, movie stars and singers and the world's songs and the world's philosophies and the world's knowledge, and it's a bad, bad time for you. You can fill your mind with the Word of God while you're young and your mind is clear. And that's why it says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil day cometh not. I mean, don't do it now while you can. Fill your mind with it. You can live a pure life and find a closeness and a reality of God in your final hours like you've never known in your life. Because he says in Isaiah 46 and verse 4, and even to your old age I am he, and even to hoar hairs will I carry you. I have made and I will bear, even I will carry and will deliver you. Now you got that promise of God. If you'll live for him, you'll find him with you in all your trouble, even in the dying day. So what are the things that we've said and done to other people? What will they look like in those last hours when you're in David's shoes right here? You know what you're going to be doing, don't you? You're going to be reviewing your life. The older you get, the more you do that. And then when you get down to the point where he's at here, you really get serious about reviewing your life. You think of all the conflicts and the controversy and the strife, and are you going to be pleased then how you dealt with them? Oh, you may be now. While your temper's hot, and while you feel so justified, and while you feel so right, you may feel good about how you told them off, or how you give them what for, or how you just, this, how they talk about getting rid of toxic people out of your life. You know, all these Facebook jokers who think, wise women mostly, who think they know everything and how to deal with people and how you just get rid of people out of your life. Somebody told me this week about a woman who said to some other woman, you just need to get rid of the whole man and get you another one. About her husband, just get rid of him, get you another one. How's that going to make you feel when you're about to face God? When your life's about over, are you going to be proud that you were so stupid? Are you going to be proud that you were so selfish and self-willed and wicked and wouldn't listen to that? No, you're not. Because in those hours, the focus is going to come a little clearer to you, and you're going to see what a fool you've been. Oh, my. How many die talking about what a fool they've been? You've read Voices from the Edge of Eternity. Some of you have. You've read some of it. There's another book that tells about that. You can find the last words of all kinds of people. You ought to look that up sometime. Be a sobering thing. Go right along with what we're talking about here this morning. What are the things that we've said and done to other people look like in those last hours? Will we feel that we've done all we could have done with people we love for their good? Are you going to die with a clear conscience, knowing you did all you could do? Really? Think about it. Will we have a conscience void of offense before God and men? Paul said he had one long before he died. He said that. He lived that way. He strove. He worked toward that. He diligently sought to live in a way that he had a conscience void of offense before God and man. Because that's how you're going to die, whether you have it or not. I mean, you're going to have that or not when you die. Being old and stricken in age can be a harvest time of life, a wonderful time. Or it can just be a disastrous crash at the end of a unbridled, undisciplined, unguided journey that was fast and furious. It depends on how much we do to prepare for that time while we have our strength and our youth. That's exactly how it's going to turn out. I don't know how to make it stronger to you this morning. I don't know how to make it so that if you're here young and you're listening to this, that you would think more about this. Being around older folks, being around death a lot in people who are old, ought to sober your mind up to the point where you start living different. And I just believe it would. If you've got any reason about your mind at all, how can you watch this happen over and over and not come to a realization that, my, this is right down the road for me. I see their mistakes. I'm not going to make those mistakes. I'm going to do what I need to do so that I can die well. So that when I get to the point where David's at here, I can have my mind about me. They brought in this young woman thinking, you know, that would really, that would make him come alive again. That's worldly thinking, unwise thinking. That's no wisdom there at all. No, that's just carnal, worldly people trying to fix something that they're out of touch with, don't understand about at all. I know I've watched people grow. We've had Granny with us, you know, until she passed away 3 years ago. And you can't, when people get old like that, you can't buy them things anymore. They don't want anything. Even to eat, they don't take pleasure in anything, hardly. Nothing gives them pleasure anymore. Things that they've loved all their life, they don't love them anymore, don't desire them anymore. So think about this. Consider it. Bible said in Psalm 71, verse 9, "Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth." You ought to pray that prayer. And then live so that God can answer that prayer for you. Psalm 92, verse 14, "They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing." So old age doesn't have to be a disaster. Old age can be a soft and smooth landing. It can be just a blessed transition from this world to the next. And, you know, David had a lot of things that were on his mind here. We'll talk about that maybe next week. We'll get to that. But he did a lot after this. It is amazing what David did after this. He had about a year to live, looks like. That's what it figures out and everything. He died when he was 70. He was probably 69 years old when this was taking place. That's not that old. But David had a hard life. That makes a difference. And so his life had prepared him for this. David did what we all should be doing at this point in our life. Let's look at him. Let's take his example and let's apply it in our life. And let's learn from it so that we can get there like he did. And with a right mind, with a heart that's a heart after God's own heart, a man after God's own heart he was. And let's think about these things every day that we live. Think about how you treat other people, what you say to them, how you think about other people, your attitude toward them. Think about what you're doing to your body, to take care of it, to use it to honor God. We're to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. When do you do that? At the very end? No, you do that in your youth. Well, the evil days come not. Well, you still got something to give. And it makes growing old a whole lot better. Amen. Father, we thank you for the word of God, and I pray you'd bless it to our hearts and help us to understand these things. And I pray it'd be some things that people who hear this would not forget. And Lord, I put my name in the pot too. Help me. Help me to remember these things. And Lord, help us to look to that day and to prepare for. All the world talks about preparing for retirement. We need to prepare for this time in our life when we're just about to die and we're too weak to enjoy anything anymore, this world, and we really don't care about it. Help us to have that mind in us more while we are still able to do something about it. Please, Lord, I pray you bless the message now to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen.